For sale, an alto saxophone that belonged to Charlie Parker, one of Dizzy Gillespie's famous bent trumpets, three of John Coltrane's saxophones. They all go up for auction this afternoon in New York. But what's being billed as the largest sale of jazz memorabilia ever is also prompting questions about whether these items should go to museums instead of to private collectors. NPR's Felix Contreras reports.
Right now, inside Jazz at Lincoln Center, is a box of never-before-released tapes of performances by Charlie Parker from the early 1950s. There are handwritten scores from Louis Armstrong, Thelonious Monk, Ornette Coleman, and a page of sheet music on which John Coltrane sketched out ideas for his masterpiece, A Love Supreme. Where was all this stuff? In basements and attics, says Arlen Ettinger, the owner of Guernsey's Auction House in New York.
It's nearly miraculous that they indeed survive to this day. It's clear that things do get thrown out in the mix, get damaged due to moisture or flood, fire, theft, and that somehow these families kept hold of these objects and now have come to us. And it is very much the American way that they're entitled to do with the objects as they see fit.
But no one is really sure how much these items will bring. Bob Blumenthal is a jazz critic whose liner notes tracing the careers of Miles Davis and John Coltrane have each won Grammy Awards.
Since they've never put as much jazz memorabilia out to auction at a single time, we've never had a way to test it before. And it should be very enlightening in terms of what value the culture chooses to place on these items.
With a few exceptions, the families selling the memorabilia have pledged the money to various musical foundations or charities. But Blumenthal says the auction's significance goes beyond dollars.
There's also a danger if the truly important items that should be shared with all of us are hoarded by private collectors.
Blumenthal and others think the items should go to museums.
And here is Mongo Santa Maria's passport from Cuba, issued in 1945.
John Hassey is curator of American music for the Smithsonian's Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. In a locked room deep within the museum, Hassey points out items recently donated by the family of percussionist Mongo Santa Maria, who passed away in 2003. He says the musician's passport has historical value.
Here he is as a young man, his photograph, and the various countries he visited. Here he is in Mexico.
It was that trip to Mexico that took Santa Maria from his day job as a mailman to a career popularizing Afro-Cuban music around the world. Hassey says the objects going up for auction in New York are just as important and he'd love to be there, but he'll have to watch from the sidelines. He says his department has no acquisition budget. The Smithsonian's vast jazz collection, which includes all of Duke Ellington's handwritten manuscripts, was donated by musicians or their heirs.
In my 20 years here as curator, not once has someone purchased something in order to donate it to the museum.
Hassey has been in discussions with the family of Cuban composer and arranger Chico O'Farrell to get his handwritten manuscripts into the Smithsonian, including his seminal Afro-Cuban jazz suite. O'Farrell's son, Arturo, says he was worried when he saw an article in the newspaper about today's auction.
My immediate response was that, you know, I hope my mother doesn't see this, because, you know, we need some money. We're not rich.
He sees a different kind of value in artifacts from a time in New York when musicians like his father were creating new styles in jazz.
Were I a music student seeking to find out how Chico put together music like the Afro-Cuban Jazz Suite, I would like to see the autograph. I'd want to see the manuscript. I'd want to see his handwriting. I would gain insight from the actual stroke of the pencil that he used. And these things can't be hidden.
Young musicians will get a chance to see some of the material up for auction. Guernsey's has secured the right to digitally reproduce all two-dimensional material to make it available to any museum or university that requests it free of charge. Felix Contreras, NPR News.